Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. On with the belief clearings this month for love relationship. Powerful month, powerful beliefs when it comes to your life, when it comes to your happiness. Lion Goodman is on the line, and we actually have a special guest that he would like to introduce. What's going on, Lion?
Hey, Jordan. Great to be back, especially in relationships and love month. What a great month.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to introduce Carista Luminaire, my partner. We met Woo-hoo. Later in life.
Yeah. Cue woo-hoo. Applause. Welcome to the show, Carista.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we met later in life after both having earlier marriages and children. And everything that we share and teach is born out of the study and practice of helping each other rewire from our own past wounds and confusion about love.
Mm.
And all that work gave us the wisdom to create not only a fabulous relationship, but also a teaching practice and a counseling practice that includes belief clearing and attachment healing and the latest understandings from the neuroscience of relationship and developmental trauma. So we bring a lot together to help people clear their traumas and make better relationships.
Mm, I love it.
Yeah. And since we're both in our 60s, we've lived through many different relationship
Ooh-hoo.
Dynamics. We've got tales to tell.
We have tales. We have scars to show.
And now we help other couples rewire to what we call secure functioning relationships. And we, of course, we custom design our work to their own unique dynamics. And people can find out about our work at confusedaboutlove.com because we're all kind of confused about love.
I love that. I love that URL too. Very catchy. I figure you guys are the perfect guests, the perfect experts to have weigh in on this kind of theory I've been kicking around for a while, having worked at Lifebook for a long time. When Love Relationship Month comes around, I really see three main categories of Lifebookers and people, I guess, in the world. Those who are single and don't have a relationship for whatever reason, you know, it's just them, they're solo. Those who are in a relationship but are unsure about it, one way or the other, maybe this isn't the right guy for me, or maybe it's an unhealthy relationship that they're delusional about. Whatever it is, they're unsure and they're in one. And then those who are in a relationship, committed, and looking to improve it. No matter who you are or what you're doing, you kind of fall into one of those three categories. Do you agree with that? Has that been what you observed? And also, what are the most common limiting beliefs that occur in these different categories?
Yes, those are great distinctions. And in all three categories, Jordan, there's some common criteria that are useful regardless of where you are in your relationship status. So as we say, most of us are confused about love in one way or another, some kind of minor spectrum confusion, some really what's it all about. It means a lack of wisdom. It's our ignorance that's often driving our reactions.
Mm.
So, you know, we really are looking at offering people guidelines and wisdom to know what healthy love is, what it looks and feels like, even sounds like, and also, therefore, what it isn't. So from a belief perspective, in essence, when you feel confident and secure about love, you have beliefs and feelings that feel like this. I feel safe with you. I'm safe. I trust you're here for me. I am lovable, and so are you. I feel worthy of love. I'm a priority for you, and you are a priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling. We're in each other's care, especially when either of us is feeling distressed. We can quickly repair when we trigger or hurt each other, which is a real understanding how to do that. And we commit to mutual sensitivity and mutual understanding. In other words, we're really in each other's care with mutual needs. Mm-hmm. And we are committed to help each other heal rather than hurt each other. That's what secure love feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the opposite is what's called insecure love, or what we call confusion about love. And these are some of the beliefs that you would have if you're not confident and secure in your relationship. For example, I don't feel safe. I don't trust that you love me. I'm not important to you. I don't need anyone.
Do it myself.
Right. I don't know if I matter to you. I'm not good enough. I can't get it right. You don't really want a connection with me. Or I have to perform or be a certain way in order to be loved by you. I need to protect myself from being hurt, or I'm alone and I'll always be alone. So these are the beliefs that create the confusion that most people have about love.
Mm-hmm. And confusion is a good word because it points some sort of onus to the intellect. And I think the intellect, especially when it comes to beliefs and especially when it comes to love relationship beliefs, can kind of be the enemy. You know, one of my favorite podcasters who's a comedian has a whole riff on how smart can be the enemy of happy, and how sometimes smart looks at happy and goes, you're not doing that so great. Why don't you compare it to your last relationship, or why don't you compare it to this guy, or think about this, or the way that is. Do you feel that human intellect can kind of be the enemy of this sort of thing at times?
Well, it can be a limitation or it can be an asset. In other words, we do need to be able to, when we find ourselves in these reactive cycles and we don't know why, we want to use our mind to develop an understanding how to discern what healthy love is and what it isn't. Mm. Perhaps what our attachment style is could be opposite from our partners. Then we need to know about the attachment styles. What I want to get myself regulated might be the opposite of what you want. So, you know, intellect is an ally, but the intellect has to be kind of, you know where the ignorance is and then where to find the wisdom to really restore confidence in knowing how to discern when I'm in healthy love dynamics and when I'm not.
So it's the consciousness and the awareness.
Absolutely.
That's the separation as opposed to reactioning, you know, like reactionary actions.
Which is born out of ignorance, and the ignorance comes from our conditioning where perhaps healthy love wasn't role modeled by family, by culture. So there's no blame here. It's more like, hey, I want to learn what I don't understand, how to be a loving individual.
That's a great way to put it. These relationship beliefs, though, how are they formed? I mean, obviously they're formed early. If I don't know many people who have like really great first crush stories. You know what I mean? Like they're never perfect. There's always a flubbed line. There's always deep scar from a comment that some girl made, and she wasn't trying to hurt you. She didn't even know what she was doing, but it stuck with you, man. It's a thorn and it's there. But does it go back further than that? Just talk to me about how these relationship beliefs are formed.
Well, does it go back further than that? You're talking to someone who wrote her dissertation on prenatal psychology. So it goes back very early.
Wow, fascinating.
Attachment, but for the purposes of today, let's say generically, yes, even in the best of relationships in our 60s, those of us who teach secure functioning relationships, we're still triggering each other. It's what we do about it when we trigger, how we resolve it, which we didn't know how to do when we were younger. So some beliefs are formed in past relationships, like you mentioned, in childhood, where no one escapes that conditioning, or with other partners. Some of them were positive, some of them were not. Some are being experienced right now as reality and present time dynamics in your current relationship. So when we're triggered, it can be childhood, you know, other wounds from other partnerships, or what the alchemy of what's happening with who's in front of us. Whether you're single or actively in a relationship, you can clear your beliefs from the past on your own. You don't need someone else. Mm. And you can learn secure functioning principles for your next relationship. We both work with lots of clients who have this, you know, want to prepare, like, let me see where I really got in trouble so I can be more mindful going forward and know what the criteria is to choose someone who's more secure functioning. When you're in a relationship, you have these live triggers to deal with. That's the difference between being alone and with someone. So the origin of those triggers are almost always subconscious. In other words, we're not aware what's driving us. And they're frequently connected to the early bonding patterns with each of your parents, even an absent parent or other primary attachment figures. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a relationship and you're working on yourself, your partner's beliefs and patterns may or may not change. It depends if they want to do the work with you.
Right.
Rewiring to a secure and passionate relationship, Jordan, it requires both people to commit to working together on their beliefs about love and trust in what feels like a positive connection.
Mm-hmm. Do you find this is work that basically everyone needs to be doing? It's not just for damaged people. This is everyone needs to do this work.
Wounded people.
Yeah, we rarely had perfect, ideal parents. You know, so
exactly.
It taught us what secure and passionate love relationship was, right? So we have these patterns from our upbringing, because we learn what love is from observing our parents, how they treat each other, how they treat us, and how they treat other people. So, so yeah, we all have some wound or another from the past. You know, if people are in a successful and fulfilling partnership, both partners have to be committed to healing themselves and each other instead of hurting each other. And stuff's definitely going to come up. You know, that's the power and the beauty of a relationship. It stimulates all of our old hidden wounds and beliefs, love and connection.
Yippee! Right? I can't wait to feel that again.
So, you know, in a healthy relationship, both partners are accepting each other's influence, because what hurts the other person is something that you consciously choose to heal in yourself and also between you. You know, these patterns are old and they need healing.
We have to care about our impact on each other. So if you have a partner who doesn't care about their impact on you, it's much more challenging to rewire. So, you know, the dangerous ones are when there's a lot of trauma bonding, we call it, where they're really scaring each other. Really what we're looking at here when we talk about insecure, it's when the partner's behavior threatens our feeling of safety and security. It can be as simple as a roll of the eyes or a shrug. You know, we don't even know our partner's, you know, got their arms crossed, and we feel like that reminds me of a rageaholic father, and, you know, we're off and running. So it's really, we need to know what threatens each other.
Really fascinating stuff. What can we expect from the clearing today, guys?
Well, we're going to focus on some of your personal beliefs about love and relationship that you may be carrying from the past, so that you can feel more conscious and more empowered to create the relationship that you want, whether you're single or dating or in a committed relationship.
Oh, I love that. All about consciously creating here at Lifebook. And that can be tough when it takes another person to tango, but like anything else, it's a goal that can be accomplished and it can bring massive abundance to your life.
And healing.
Yeah, and we do private counseling with singles and couples, both in person and by Skype, to help them do the other kind of work, the deep excavation that you need to rewire from insecure to secure love. And we really have great success. Many people that are on the brink of breaking up or divorcing have used this approach to create a really secure and passionate relationship, really renew, restore, and deeply, deeply loving the thing that we always want.
Actually, those who are in crisis often have the best marriages if they get the help and do the inner work, because anyone can learn positive beliefs and behaviors to be a wise, loving partner. You just have to look at where the conditioning is blocking you and allow that ignorance to blossom into wisdom, to feel secure and to trust you know how to love a person and be loved.
That is such a good point. Everybody out there, confusedaboutlove.com. Any further words here, guys? Thank you so much for doing this. Looking forward to this clearing.
Sure. I just have one more theme I want to share. And I appreciate the question. You know, in a relationship, there are three entities. There's a you with all your beliefs, feelings, and reactions. There's a me and my beliefs and feelings and reactions, conscious and subconscious. And together we make a we. So that's very important, because all three entities need attention, where the beliefs subconsciously might be making stuff up, making false assumptions, you know, projecting. You remind me of my parent when, hey, I'm just being my adult self and I feel like your parent, but I'm not. So every relationship can bring up these different dynamics, and you have to want to do that inner work to find the beliefs that are driving your behaviors, especially when triggered. There's additional work to do as a couple. That's what we've been emphasizing, because the couple's co-triggering is what often creates those vicious processing cycles, especially when there's an unresolved developmental trauma or attachment issue or belief driving it. So we have great faith in the human psyche to rewire and heal itself. We've worked with thousands of people and really been through our own initiation together. And with great confidence, we say anyone can heal their beliefs once they become conscious that they're being limited by them and want freedom to find something more productive and positive.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic. Again, thank you so much for contributing this to the Lifebook community. I appreciate it, and everyone listening appreciates it.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, for the opportunity. Jordan. Great to be here with you.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the clearing.
I'm really happy to be here with you again for this Lifebook series, the Belief Clearing Sessions. Since we're focused on love and relationships this month, I'm especially happy to be here with my wife and partner, Carista Luminaire, who's been a relationship and family counselor for more than 40 years. We've learned a lot from each other during our many years together, and I'm thrilled to be sharing her with you. Hey, Carista.
Hi. Great to be here with you.
We're going to discuss some of our deepest core beliefs about love and relationship, and then we'll get to the clearing process. The reason these beliefs are so core is that we're social animals, and like all social creatures, our brains are designed to learn about relationships from the time we're born. Actually, even earlier. Our neurology develops in a primitive way while we're still in the womb, and our physical survival depends on other people for our entire childhood.
In the last 30 years, we've learned a tremendous amount about prenatal psychology. Our psyche is being shaped by our experience in the womb. We're in a relationship with our mother. We hear her heartbeat, we eat what she eats, and we feel what she feels. If she's afraid, her cortisol hormones go up, and so does ours. If she's afraid a lot of the time, our little brains develop in that soup of fear. We can be born with a built-in belief, the world is dangerous, or I'm unsafe. Of course, this doesn't take the form of words because we don't have language yet. We could call it an experiential belief. And the opposite is true, too. If you're loved and wanted while you're in the womb, you'll come out into a loving, welcoming world, into the arms of loving parents, and you'll feel love.
And once you emerge from the womb, you begin to have experiences. And depending on those experiences, your brain and mind will be shaped by them. For example, early research showed that some babies who were born by cesarean section grew up to be a little bit more passive than children born the usual way, which includes a lot of struggle and pain and effort. It's almost as if these cesarean-born children were expecting to be lifted out of their difficulties rather than having to face them with grit and determination. That's just one example to show how our earliest experiences can affect our whole lives. It can be quite traumatic to be a newborn baby. If you want to know what it feels like, imagine that you wake up suddenly and you're naked and lying on a cold sidewalk in a foreign city where you can't understand the language and no one can understand you and you have no control over your body. People are surprised to see you lying there, so they lean over you and they talk to you, but you can't understand a word, and you have no way of signaling how distressed you are to find yourself in this situation. All you can do is make noises, hoping that someone comes to your rescue and makes you feel more comfortable. That's pretty close to what being born is like for a baby.
Ooh. Like all social animals, all babies have a core need and expectation that they will be taken care of and made to feel comfortable after such a difficult ordeal. Even if it's not an expectation, the usual way we think about it, a baby can be comforted with soothing voices, being held lovingly, rocking motions, and the mother's, and optimally, the father's care and love. One of our first and important needs is to have someone who cares for us as their highest priority. That's what love feels like when we're younger. That means when we're in distress, they will care for us, give us what we need, and let us know we're not alone. We can count on them. The new science of attachment theory clearly illustrates that this very human need never goes away. Even as adults, we're looking for a partner who cares for us as their highest priority. And when we're in distress, to care for us, give us what we need, and let us know we're not alone, that they have our back. They have our heart. If things go well for a newborn, they get through that first big trauma of the birth and just adjusting to the body, and they are well attended to by the mother and other caregivers who care and love that little being. They see her as important, as a real person with her own unique needs, worthy of being treated with respect and love and affection. When she expresses discomfort, someone is there quickly to care for her. If this is the case, she grows up with what's called secure attachment.
Now, unfortunately, most people didn't get this kind of ideal infancy and childhood. Because of the complexities of people and our society and the world, our parents might have been in stress themselves due to family dynamics or having lots of other kids or illnesses or a relationship that wasn't working or work stress or financial stress. Or they might have been in a war zone, either internal or external, where they were afraid for their lives. Or they might have been too young or really unfit to be parents. And when anything like that's going on, that little being who needs to be comforted and attended to doesn't get all of her needs met, or she only gets a few of them met. And this baby can't count on someone to be there for her. So she gets anxious, uncertain. She fears for her life because her survival depends on getting those needs met. Whatever she's experiencing and the meaning she makes from it will affect her future health, her psychology, her personality, and her development as she grows into adulthood. This situation is called insecure attachment, and it comes in many different forms, which we call the love styles, or as they're more popularly known, attachment or bonding styles. We don't have time to go into them in detail, but you can learn about them on our website, confusedaboutlove.com, where you can take our free love style profile quiz.
So let's continue the story. As this darling girl is growing up, she watches her parents very carefully because that will ensure her survival. She watches how her parents or primary caregivers relate to each other and themselves. She watches and feels how she's cared for or not, and how her siblings, if she has them, are cared for. And whatever she sees and experiences becomes a pattern inside of her, because for her, this is what love is. If there's withdrawal, or demands or conditions, or judgment or contempt as the primary way of connecting, that's what love is. Even if there's abuse, whether verbal, sexual, or physical, emotional, it's a component of love in her unique family dynamic. It's like this simple formula. Family equals love equals whatever is happening, however she's being connected to and attended to. And she takes her observations and experiments. Over time, she builds a model of relationship from her experience, and these become her beliefs about love. She also creates a strategy for surviving and thriving within that environment. And this strategy is her operating manual for love. Luckily, it's fluid and flexible and will continue to grow and change with new input over time. Of course, she has a child's point of view, but she does come to conclusion about what works and what doesn't work and how you're supposed to relate to people and what is normal in a family. A lot of this is happening subconsciously. Her hardwiring around relationship begins to form. Because she's only 2 or 5 or 7 or a teen or even a young adult, she will make mistakes in her conclusions. But no one is there to tell her what's really going on. So that mistake becomes part of her operating manual. It's normalized. And when she gets older, she probably will get into relationships and she'll put out that manual and start treating and relating to others that way. She'll be using that manual as her guide, subconsciously and even consciously.
Very, very few children are able to look at what's happening and recognize, wow, mom and dad are really screwed up. They're treating each other terribly. I'm going to make sure I do the opposite when I grow up. Now, if they do decide on that strategy, it's going to be better, but it's still naive in a way. Children see the world in black and white, where it's really all the colors in the rainbow. So their conclusions, their beliefs about love, are often not viable for adulthood. So let's fast forward 20 or 30 years. That little girl is now a grown woman. She's been in a number of relationships that haven't worked out very well, and she doesn't understand why. She's doing everything she can to create a loving partnership, but it isn't working out. Unconsciously, she keeps picking partners who treat her the way her dad treated her mom. It's not obvious at first. They just are attractive people, but it turns out they're kind of jerks. And this isn't entirely her fault. We're attracted to people who feel familiar, and that means like family. She wants love, but as an adult, she has some unworkable beliefs. It's only by getting underneath those beliefs and clearing them from her psyche that she can open to what love really is and create love with another person instead of a replay of her early family life.
Unless she was lucky enough to have secure love. And of course, this is just part of the story. We pick up other beliefs from love from siblings, from friends, TV shows, romance novels, modeling ourselves after other people, and dozens of other places, even cultural conditioning. However, in our work with couples, we see that most people struggle with some of the patterns they formed as a child, regardless of their age. After we help them clear the past, they begin to build a future. So our adult relationship dynamics are often formed on how we bonded with our primary caregivers, mother, father, and others. And that includes the absent parent as well. So if you have some beliefs about love that have caused pain to you or your partner, or if they've prevented you from creating love in your life, or if you've been disappointed or abandoned, rejected, or you are in a relationship with someone that felt like a jerk, as Lyon says, or any of the other ways love can go wrong, we invite you to go through this process with us and begin to clear out your old limiting beliefs and open to what love really is.
Okay, we're going to start the clearing process, and to prepare for it, get out a piece of paper or open a document on your computer or phone, because you're going to want to write this next part down. If you're driving or not in a position to write, we suggest you stop this recording and listen later when you can do this part of the process in writing. We're going to focus on the simple beliefs about what love is. This is a foundational understanding that we need to have solid, because otherwise you're trying to build a house on sand and it will never be stable. You learned the basics in childhood, depending on your family dynamics, and you've been modifying them ever since, based on your experience and learning. Let's see what you believe now. You're going to create two columns. So if you're using paper, fold it in half vertically so you have a column on the left and on the right. If you're on a computer, create two columns if you can, and if you can't, just write each pair of words with about 10 spaces in between them. On the top of the left column, write "love is," and on the top of the right column, write "love isn't." And now we're going to give you about 15 pairs of words. Write the first word on the left column and the other in the right. If you need to grab a piece of paper or get your document ready, stop the recording and start it again when you've got it all set up. Okay, here we go.
So on the left column, you're going to put the word warm, and on the right column, the word cold. On the left column, you're going to put the word wise. On the right column, intellectual. Left column, the word peaceful. Right column, the word warlike. Left column, the word protective. Right column, the word defensive. Left column, the word compassionate. Right column, judging, judgmental. Left column, understanding. Right column, critical. Left column, predictable. Right column, unpredictable. Left column, safe. Right column, dangerous. Left column, secure. Right column, insecure. Left column, forgiving. Right column, begrudging. Left column, connecting. Right column, rejecting. Left column, nurturing. Right column, abandoning. Left column, caring. Right column, ignoring. Left column, embracing. Right column, withdrawing. And left column, repairing. And right column, harming. Great. You now have a list of words that describes what love really is on the left, and a list of what love really isn't on the right. Take a minute and look over the two columns and see if you agree that it would feel more loving and feel a lot better to be in an environment and in a relationship that felt like the left side. And imagine what it would feel like if you're not experiencing it or haven't, what it would be like to be in a relationship that felt primarily what's there on the right side, and feel the difference. Feel the difference in your body, in your nervous system, in your heart, in your sense of life and yourself, as well as the other you're in relationship with.
The next step is a little tricky. I'm going to ask you to bring your mother to mind, especially the way she was most of the time when you were a child. Now, she might have changed a lot since then, so use your childhood experience, and again, think about the majority of the time. I'd like you to go through the list slowly and put an M for mother next to each word that describes her in either column. Now, many of our mothers, maybe most of our mothers, had a mixture of these characteristics. So if she had some of both, put the M somewhere in the middle. You know, which way did she lean? Put the M anywhere along that line between the two words. And we'll give you one full minute to complete that. Begin now. While you're doing that, if you had both a birth mother and an adoptive mother or stepmother or another caregiver, do this process with each of those people. For adoptive mother, for example, you can use the initials AM, and for stepmother, SM, grandmother, GM, and so on. If you didn't know your birth mother, you can still put her next to the words rejecting and abandoning if you felt that way. Remember how you felt as a child, and use those memories to identify how your mother or caregiver felt to you most of the time.
Okay, thank you. If you haven't finished, you can either turn off the tape now and come back to listening when you're finished, or you can work on it some more later. Now you're going to do the same thing with your father or father figure. Put an F wherever he was most of the time when you were a child, whatever it felt like. He was somewhere on the spectrum between warm and cold, perhaps, predictable and unpredictable, safe and dangerous. Do the exercise for whoever was in that father role, with SF for stepfather, GF for grandfather, and so on, uncle, brother. Make this work for you. You have 1 minute to map out your father or father figure. Okay, again, you can turn off the tape and finish or come back to it later. Now, take a look at your results. Step back and look at the layout of your responses as if it were a map of a large territory. See who influenced you and taught you what love is in your childhood, and feel what it feels like to have had those experiences of love and connection, perhaps a blend of what felt positive and safe and secure and what felt insecure and threatening. It's okay. Parents did the best they could. Remember, they were conditioned by their parents. And there's a lot of transgenerational influences affecting how our parents were able to care for us and not. So this is a compassionate reflection, not to blame or judge, simply to understand how their way of behaving with you impacted your wiring around what to expect, what love is, what it isn't. And we're inviting you to make it more intentional for yourself, more conscious, where you may have had some patterning, some wounding, and internalized and created beliefs to survive, to adapt, that now you are awakening and aware and an adult and don't need your parents' or caregivers' permission to mature and evolve, to empower you to focus more on knowing what love is and what it isn't behaviorally, and where you may need to heal with yourself, with your partner, or how to choose new partners. Now, as you look over the list, put circles where you are on each spectrum. Give yourself an honest assessment. This is for you. It will pinpoint where you have a healthy sense of love and experience and where you still need to focus on healing yourself. And it's whether you're currently in a relationship or not. You can go to your last relationship if you're not in one and think about how you behaved, or kind of a synthesis of your history of relationships, primarily with romantic partners. That's where the attachment issues usually play out. It can play out with employers and employees as well. We'll give you another minute to complete that. Just use your intuition. This isn't a test. It's a chance to self-reflect. Put a circle somewhere along the line on each pair of words to identify where you are most of the time in your intimate love relationships. And then you can go back and expand and look at other relationships. And we'll give you about 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Now, looking over your map again, what do you notice? Do you see places where you learned how to be in relationship from your mother, and places where you learned how to be in relationship from your father and from each of your other caregivers? You now have a map of what you believe love is. If you're mostly on the loving side, congratulations.
Lucky you.
Yeah. You can thank your parents or thank yourself for all that inner work you've done. Or maybe thank your partner for forcing you to do that inner work. If you've got some circles on the right side of the page, don't think badly of yourself. This is just a lousy script that your parents gave you. It's kind of like you got hired to star in a movie, except the writer and director gave you a really crappy role with crappy dialogue. It makes you act in a non-loving way, and it makes you feel bad about yourself.
Really, behind all of that is your parents' confusion about love or primary caregivers. It's really their ignorance. It's not that they're bad people. So it's just that they didn't know how to give you a healthy script about what love is.
Would you like to change the script? If so, that's what we're going to do next in the clearing exercise. This will take about 10 minutes, and it could have beneficial results that last your entire lifetime. It's one giant step along the path toward healthy love. Put down your writing implement and settle into a comfortable position for an inner journey. Close your eyes and take a few long, deep breaths. And let go of any mental chatter. Just find a quiet place inside yourself. And now imagine that you're traveling to a very beautiful, safe, and sacred place for your inner work. You may have already created one, and if so, go to that place. If you have contact with your guides or angels or the divine, ask them to bring you to such a place. And if you haven't ever created one before, imagine a beautiful temple on a hill overlooking a turquoise blue ocean. And walk up to the temple and with reverence enter it and find a room where you can be safe and quiet and not interrupted. Good. Now I'd like you to imagine that you have your list that you just wrote in your hands. It appears as a kind of old parchment scroll. On the left are the most loving characteristics you express when you're in an intimate relationship. And on the right are those not so loving, not so mature characteristics that show up in your relationships. This is the full script that your parents gave you as you were growing up. It's the beliefs that you came to about what love is, even though you now know that part of it describes what love isn't. Like most people, you got a mixture of both characteristics from your parents and your other caregivers. Now, looking at the scroll, very carefully tear the scroll into two long pieces, one carrying the loving characteristics you want to keep and enhance, and the other carrying the unloving characteristics you want to get rid of from your life. Take the half with the loving characteristics and place it inside your shirt or blouse next to your heart. They are precious, and they bring real love into your life and into the lives of others. So now you're holding only the half that contains the negative, non-loving characteristics. Take a few breaths as you get ready for the next step. Now I'd like you to reach out with your mind to your birth mother and your birth father, and all your other important caregivers, whoever gave you these negative love characteristics. Call to them. Say to them, "Come here to me so I can complete this inner work." You're going to bring them to you in a special way. They'll appear as a group inside of a large bubble, a bubble that you control. They won't be able to do anything or say anything without your permission. They will come to you wherever they are, even if they've passed on. They might appear the way they looked when you were a child or the way they looked when they were old. However they appear is fine. Let them float inside that bubble into this room, into this sacred place, and land gently about 10 feet in front of you. Okay, now I'd like you to walk up to them and hold up the list of negative characteristics so they can see it, and say the following words to them. Feel free to change the phrases I say to what you feel, to what's true for you. I'm just offering you a template. And if English wasn't the language of your childhood, speak to them in the language you spoke as a child. Say to them each of the following statements. And if you're in a safe place, you can say them out loud. Mother, father, caregivers, you were the ones who taught me about love. You taught me by how you treated each other and how you treated yourself and how you treated me and my siblings and other people. I know you were doing the best you could at the time, but you gave me some beliefs about love that aren't true, and those beliefs are now interfering with my life. I appreciate you're doing your best, but I've outgrown them now. I don't want them or need them anymore. I'm now ready to become a healthier, more loving, and awakened being. I'm now giving these beliefs and patterns and habits back to you, and you can do with them whatever you will. And feel free to say anything else you want to them. Good. When you're ready, walk up to the bubble and push the paper through the bubble and make sure they take it into their hands, and then take a few steps backwards. If you wish, you can ask them whether they have anything to say to you before you send them on their way. And if so, listen to what they have to say with an open heart. And feel what it feels like to no longer have those beliefs and patterns inside of you. All right, say any last words you wish to say to them, and then send them in their bubble back to wherever they came from. Take a few breaths, and again, feel what it feels like to no longer have that script, that burden in your life. Most people feel a great relief. And now take out the list of loving beliefs, the one near your heart, and look it over. You can add any additional characteristics that you want to embody and practice in your life with your partner, with your family, with friends, and anyone else you want to love. As you're holding this part of the scroll, it begins to light up with a powerful golden glow. And you hold the list to your chest and let that golden light penetrate into your heart and into your body and your mind. Welcome these loving patterns. Bring them into every one of your 70 trillion cells in your body. Feel your heart light up with that golden glow. And begin to feel that light in your heart pouring out of you to all the people you love. As you're pouring your love light out to all those beautiful people, send it also to anyone who needs healing, who could use some of this beautiful healing light. And recognize that there are dozens or hundreds of other people sending you their love light right now. Really take it in and receive it, and know that you are loved. See those whom you love as points of light, like shining stars, all lighting each other up, healing and uplifting each other, amplifying that love light. And now feel your body sitting here where you are, and bring your hands to your heart and feel that golden love circulating throughout your body. And here and now, make a promise to yourself and to all those you love that you will do your very best to embody true love, real love, whenever and however you can, and that you'll continue to practice and learn and grow your love light. Take a few breaths, and when you're ready, open your eyes and look around the room. Do things look different? Can you see a glow that maybe wasn't there before?
You are a being of love, and you came here into this body and mind to love. We're very happy to have shared this time with you. We'd love to hear your comments below about your experience. And if you'd like to know more about our work, please visit confusedaboutlove.com. And while you're there, feel free to take our free love style profile quiz to learn about your unique love style.
As we bid you adieu, love well, and we'll see you next month. Until then, this is Lion and Carista, your love ambassadors.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.